So this morning, we're going to be looking here at how our bodies are mere jars of clay. But this, as Paul uses this in his text, he's leading us to really reflect on the power and glory of God. What matters in life, what matters the most in life, this great question, is, of course, to decide who Jesus is. It's a great question, too. Who is Jesus? Who do you think Jesus is? What have you discovered him to be? You're following him. How are you revealing him? Because what matters in life is to be able to give our lives over to Jesus, to surrender to him. And to surrender to him is to allow him to be put in the driver's seat, and then he can lead us. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, so that you have power to live for Christ. So the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the power that emptied the tomb, that raised him to life, is working in us. Working in us to bring new life from out of us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he is helping us to share this new life, this trusting in Jesus as the touchstone of our lives. He's helping and empowering us to share this new life with our world around us. We trust the Lord Jesus to guide us, and he will lead us, not lead us astray. We trust him to empower us to continue on in serving him, serving Jesus, and serving the purposes of God in the world. And we want to do this until the very end. Because 1 Corinthians again points out the fact that there will come an end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all other rule and all authority and all power that is in contrary to him. He'll put an end to that and subsume it all under him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us pray a moment before we read our text of 2 Corinthians 4. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. Take your truth planted deep in us, resulting in our being busy with acts of love and willingness to accomplish deeds of faith. This we pray in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 4 tells us this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we are alive, we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul's kind of saying, death's at work in us. I think in a way he's saying he's passing away, but he's bringing to life the new life of Christ in the Corinthian church, in the churches that he's planting. He's seeing the life of Christ come to fruition. So it is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's the reading of God's Word. Thanks be to Him. So we are people who are grounded in our humanity. We are all human. We can admit and accept that. And yet, as a Christian, you yield yourself to Jesus as Lord. And you're yielding yourself to the divinity, the one who is the power that is higher than us, the one who created and fashioned the world, who sent his Son, Jesus, to die for us. And we're yielding ourselves to him. We need to live with that reality. We need to come to terms with it. That though we are jars of clay, yet we are connected to God who is eternal. If a person is going to come alive again from the dead, there has to be supernatural power at work. It's the only way. As it says here, Jesus Christ has been declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection has declared that God's power is at work, that it's got to be a power that is far above ourselves, because we just do not see people rising up from their coffins. We do not see people breaking out of their graves. But in Jesus, we see that power at work. 2 Corinthians 4:7 said, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God." Supernatural. It's something totally distinct from what we know on an earthly basis. On earth, we are busy harnessing awesome power to be put at our disposal. I'm sorry, this is a picture about the jars of clay. I just read that passage. But here, you see one of the ways we have harnessed awesome power by testing the speed of sound in the air. This is a jet breaking the sound barrier. We have accomplished high speed on the ground, you know, fast car going 300 miles an hour, which I would not want to be in. Don't put me in that car. We have set off atomic and hydrogen bombs. This is a picture of the Bikini Atoll testing. You can see the awesome power there, and we know that if you see a picture of Hiroshima or Nagasaki, devastation was tremendous. Great power we have put into our hands as human beings. We have launched people into space through rockets with incredible thrust and gravity-defying power. We are also people able to capture so much knowledge and realize the great rise of knowledge is tremendous. You know, this is, you know, knowledge growth over time, and then suddenly here we are in an age when knowledge has increased like astronomically. And it's captured in a smartphone. Smartphone is powers that, you know, give you all kinds of things you're able to do. You have access to knowledge in ways we never had before. And in the medical world, this is quite an astounding chart. 1973 to 2013, over the space of those 40 years, medical knowledge is increasing at a tremendous rate. It says here at the beginning there were 19 years for doubling your knowledge. And then it began to grow to 17 years, 10 to 15 years, 7 years, 5th year, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years. Now, clinical knowledge in the medical field is estimated to be doubling every 18 months. Kind of don't want to be studying medicine right now. You have to know a lot. But it's also unleashing great powers of ability in what the medical world is able to accomplish. Yet even knowing all of those powers that we have as human beings, we are still people who are in jars of clay. And the jar of clay thing is about the fragility of it, because you drop a clay jar on the ground, shatters. We are imperfect beings needing grace. As it says here, grace, you don't deserve it, you can't earn it, but God saved you by His grace when you believed. We need grace to redeem us because we are in jars of clay. And our goal here on earth is to give glory to God, not to the power of human beings to be able to accomplish these things, because God gave us those powers. He created us. And He rejoices that we're able to do all these things. He doesn't want to restrict us or hold us back. But because we are people who are in jars of clay, we have to humble ourselves and admit our flaws and weaknesses. We are sinners, and God is holy and just. God is holy and just, and in opposition to Him, we are not. And so we are ashamed at our inability to compare with God. We are ashamed. We are drawing back from Him because God is perfect at a level far above us. Yet God is not ashamed of us. He wants to call us into fellowship with Him. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer reminds us, God is not ashamed of the lowliness of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as His instruments and performs His wonders where one would least expect them. God is near to lowliness. He loves the lost, the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded, the weak, and the broken. Those are whom God calls. He is not afraid or ashamed of us being His own people. He bestows on each of us the honor and privilege of being ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is not ashamed or embarrassed about us. He is glad that we are ambassadors for Him. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God and realize and recognize this mission that we're on. God, remember that God is not ashamed of you. He wants you to be ready to go forth and give an explanation for the reason, for the hope that you have within you. He's calling us to be ambassadors. Now, Paul says, we are being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Now, he's describing that as an apostle. But he's also describing it for us as Christians. We who are alive are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, that in our clay pots the life of Jesus Christ will flourish. Which it means that we as Christians following Christ are dying to this world and its sinful desires and its demonic passions. Those things are falling by the wayside as we follow Christ. And this brings us into freedom and alignment with the desires and values of our Heavenly Father, so that we are always seeking to say this to ourselves and to the world around. How can we please our Heavenly Father? We see something that is wrong. We see something that is evil. We see someone who has fallen, and we say, think about how you could please your Heavenly Father. And one of the first ways is to humble yourself before Him and to say, Lord God, we need you. To come to Him and admit your flaws and weaknesses. And He will empower you to be ambassadors for Him. Now, Paul speaks about death here in this passage, verses 8 and 9. Paul goes on to describe, we, and he's talking about himself as an apostle particularly, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are, in other words, there's pressure being put on Him, but it's not causing Him to fracture. We're perplexed, but not in despair. He says, sometimes we just can't figure it out. Our brain is in a fog. We can't find our way through. We don't know what the right answer is. But we're not in despair, because we trust the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom and guidance. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Like Paul, at one point with Silas in the prison, he's locked up, he's in jail, he's been beaten already, he's bleeding probably, he's wounded, he's hurt, and he's still singing psalms of praise to God. And God sends an earthquake and shakes it in the Philippian jail, and he's brought to freedom. We're not abandoned, he says. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Paul knows about the persecutions he endures. Paul and suffering is a very real issue. Apostle Paul found reasons to glory in his infirmity. He had suffered shipwrecks, torture, beatings, imprisonment, stoning. Christ's resurrection was the key to his making sense of his suffering. Without the resurrection, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain, and we are all of men most miserable. If the tomb is not empty, the tomb really never got emptied, it's all in vain. He says, it's no use. Go home. Stop this charade. You know, we're just faking it. And Paul just says, I'm not ready to say I'm faking it. I'm willing to die for God. And he did. He ended up being a martyr. He got his head chopped off because he believed that he would go to heaven. He believed that Jesus Christ would bring him home. He belonged to him and he knew him. You see, Paul was willing to be taken outside of a town and stoned to death, left for dead. And then the believers gathered around him. I believe they prayed for him, and he was raised to life by their prayers. So Paul himself also experienced, he never boasted in this, but he did experience God's power of bringing life to him when he was given up for dead. He was willing to go through this for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Peter said this in Acts. Paul is saying this throughout his whole ministry. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings amazing grace into the life of everyone who believes it. This gospel is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that God the Father, who fashioned us and made us, sent him to die for us in our sinful condition. For while we were yet his enemies, we were his enemies in sin, so that he was sent to die for us, so that we might be saved and granted eternal life. Being newborn, being a believer, being a Christian who follows Christ, our destiny, then, is to give glory to God forever. Just like all of the angels and saints gathered in heaven do now. At one point in one of our songs, we were singing about joining with the angels in our songs, victory in Jesus. And they go on giving glory constantly in heaven today, right now, to the one being who deserves glory, who is not of this earth, but is the King of heaven. Glory to God in the highest, and glory to Jesus Christ, who is on his throne in that place. All glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. He is the King of heaven. He reigns as King of kings. God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We fix our eyes on what is unseen, permanent, not what is passing away. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but as what is unseen is eternal. Now, I don't know if any of you ever watched Planet of the Apes. Did you ever read the book? I know I watched it a long time ago when I was young. I don't know when the movie was released, but Charlton Heston played the part. And you know, the movie starts with the fact that he is caught as a slave, he's put into a cage, and the apes are the masters of the world. It's a science fiction story about the future. And then eventually that lead character realizes that all humans are slaves of apes. The world's been turned upside down. One day he's broken free and he's riding his horse along the seafront. And on the sandy beach, he finds this picture, Statue of Liberty. Shattered, buried in sand. And it's a devastating moment in the film. It really is. It's really shocking because you suddenly think, like, this New York City, I've been there. Been on the Staten Island Ferry and I've gone by the Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty is now just a waste product. So it drives home the point that we are here in a temporary setting. Something devastating happened to the earth. Perhaps it was nuclear bombs that blew up everything. Perhaps it was an asteroid that hit planet Earth, because what we have here is temporary. Our earth and the life of humanity has a sell-by date. We could be encountering a pandemic threat that wipes us out. We could encounter a global warming coming to the point where, you know, it felt in the Pacific Islands, especially, you know, where an island could end up with having such so much water, you don't have any dry land anymore. Because unlike Guam, which is, you know, cliff-based and has rugged terrain, a lot of islands are just flat. The island of Oniap, which Hendrik talks about, where they built this church, the cement church that's building up, it's fairly flat. And in a storm, the waters do come over that island. An asteroid, as I said, could blow into us. Nuclear war could end everything. Robots, or the idea of... where do you take the pill? What movie is that? Everything is just, we're a projection. We're just... living in a computer construct could happen. Who knows? One day it may be too hot to live here. One day there may not be enough oxygen to live on. One day there may not be enough food for all of us. History has a limit to it, set by God. However, by faith in Christ, we have an eternal future with God. With the Lord. Now we hold the treasure of the gospel in jars of clay, which when they fall, they shatter. But praise be to God, He gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus. We were just singing that. So that we are promised we shall live forever. As 2 Corinthians 4 16 and 17 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Just ask anyone about the travail of growing older. We are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You know, all of us, we dream about being 25 again, because then your life would seem to be on the up and up. And you know, somewhere around that 30, 35 age, I think at that point, there's kind of a stopping growing in your cells, and then there's kind of a, even then, a process that goes. We long for that, but we are wasting away, and inwardly, we are being renewed day by day through the life of Jesus Christ in us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. For our light, and Paul says this, Paul, who has been shipwrecked, who has been taken out and stoned to death, yet lived, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs any trouble or travail we experience in this life. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. We hold the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that He is given us, bringing us to life, and He's bringing us to eternal life, even though these jars of clay can fall and shatter. We're reminded of that time and time again. So let us for a moment here reflect on this video, which is One Day at a Time.
We are an imperfect people. We struggle, fail, and fall short, just like everyone else. We wander this world, one step at a time, moment by moment, place to place, walking the path laid out before us. We strive for righteousness, but miss the mark. We seek God, but lose our focus. We want to love deeply, but often forget how that works. We are a broken people, made whole only by the hand of God. In the end, our life is about one thing, Jesus. And although we don't pursue him perfectly, we still pursue him. One day at a time.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We can acknowledge how weak and defenseless we really are. But thank you that you are a God who gives us life, a God who watches over us and protects us and promises us to be with us to the very end of our days. We thank you, Lord, that we walk with Jesus, that he is our shepherd, and he leads us to the sustenance of our faith, the green pasture. He leads us to the refreshing of our spirits, the still waters, Lord. And he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh Lord, thank you that this people are yielded unto you. If anyone needs to take a further step in yielding to you, Lord, help us to receive them with generosity, kindness, and humility, because we are all on the same journey. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to see that we are all struggling to do the same thing. And we thank you, Lord, that we can fix our eyes on you, who has been raised into heaven and intercedes for us today and every day. And we can count on your heavenly resources to far outweigh any of our earthly efforts. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.